Joining us right now, the California kid, the one, the only, Uriah Faber. Uriah, Katie was just saying that was the toughest sporting event she's ever been to is watching you fight because she wants to get in and punch the other guy for you.
Yeah, and pick you up and carry you out and be like, no, you will not do this.
That's my mom. My mom won't go. She'd be in there mixing it up.
Now, I can only imagine, yeah.
Oh, and we were also, because we played California Love coming back. And I actually, I'm curious, listen, it's the best intro in the UFC, and yes, I'm biased, but many others have said that, including Joe Rogan. Has there ever gotten a point where you got kind of tired of the song?
No, not really.
Yeah?
No, I love that song. I mean, however many fights since Jens Pulver, that was the first one in the Arco Arena. That was the first time I used it, and, you know, it's a good song, dude. I like that song. That's why I picked it.
That's a great song.
It's on a life of its own.
I just figure every radio show you're on, every place you go, the intro music probably 95% of the time is that song. I don't know. It's just human nature.
You know, it could be worse. Could be worse.
That's actually
okay, so Uriah, tell me, what is the worst intro song of someone that you've, well, I don't know.
Didn't some guy just come into Mickey, You're So Fine? It was the guy who fought CM Punk. He came into like, oh, Mickey, You're So Fine. That was rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bad.
That one's bad. I mean, there's been a bunch of them. I don't know because I'm not very good at remembering the names of songs.
Sure.
So I have to sing them, and you guys don't want that.
No.
That is not true.
I know you remember last night. We were on the phone briefly last night, and you had just come back from this event. It was a Farm to Fork event, the charter school, featuring Mayor Kevin Johnson. And, you know, we've been talking about it a little bit. The news has kind of rolled out, and I know you've had to talk about it a few times. But honestly, dude, from your perspective, where were you and what did you see?
Well, I had just rolled up as the whole conversation was being broken up, and I just saw, you know, a bunch of people helping KJ up and another guy being detained, and KJ has brushed himself off, and the other guy was, you know, a little beat up. You know, it wasn't a scratch on KJ, but what happened is this guy attacked KJ. He had, like, a pre-planned, like, situation where this guy – I think he had, like, bought a pie, and, you know, this isn't, like, smush a pie in your friend's face. This is, like, punch a guy with a pie in your hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, guy snuck up on KJ and basically punched him in the face with a pie, and KJ reacted, and it ended up with the guy, both KJ and the guy on the ground, and the guy beat up and detained and taken away by the cops.
Now, was there any indication? Apparently, this guy is some form of an activist, and he's been to multiple city council meetings and so on and so forth, and he's protesting something. But do you have any clarity on what he's protesting? Our hard-hitting correspondent,
well,
Uriah Faber.
I didn't see any signs or anything. I mean, this guy was dressed in a wife beater and looked, I mean, he definitely wasn't there in a respectable manner. He looked a little disheveled and a little bit like a crazy man to me. And so, I mean, he attacked a person, and he attacked the wrong person. I mean, there's probably only one or two other people at that event that you wouldn't want to attack aside from KJ. But, I mean, he picked the wrong guy, obviously.
Now, there was no one with him? Like with
security?
I'm not talking about with Kevin Johnson,
but the other guy.
Yeah, with this guy who his name is Sean Thompson. We're looking at his mugshot right now, and you're right, KJ got the best of him. But was he there by himself? But was he the only one involved?
From what I understand, I mean, I honestly got there as like I saw. Just it looked like a fist fight broke out, or you know, that's what it just looked like.
Right.
It was just a big scuffle with, you know, guys getting separated and whatnot. I'm like, wow, is somebody? I mean, I figured somebody probably tried to attack. When I saw that KJ was standing there and disheveled himself, I figured somebody had like, you know, tried to attack the mayor for no reason or you know whatever the. It was something fishy had happened, and then, I didn't see one other person. You know, KJ had all his security, but I mean, you don't know. Security doesn't know what they need to do until it's too late because you don't expect something like that to happen at an awesome event, you know, where you've got a bunch of, you know, prominent folks from Sacramento that are all there to help these kids and, you know, it was kind of a bizarre thing.
So you said you were either this.
I feel bad for KJ because I get home, and I was like, man, that was weird, whatever. And my buddy, I told my buddy what happened. He looks it up, and there's an article that says, soon to be former mayor beats protester to a bloody pulp. And I'm like, that's not exactly what happened here. I mean, talk about getting a bad rendition of the story. I mean, KJ is doing something good. He gets attacked by a crazy guy and reacts, you know?
Now, you said that you were just getting to this event. What happened after? I mean, did the event just go on? What was the...
I called him up.
Yeah, what was the kind of environment there after all of this chaos happened?
Well, I can't speak for anyone else. It was a bit confusing at first, but the show just rolled on. KJ got on the mic, and he actually did call me up and said, Uriah, where was the backup, man? And I just said, you know, Sacramento's safe with our mayor. He can take care of himself. And, you know, it was a kind of a comical thing, and KJ made the best of it. Continue with the program, and you know, we had a celebration about, you know, farm to fork and great food and everything else.
Uriah Faber joining us. And you know, you mentioned how the media is reporting on this, and KJ has a lot of friends and a lot of enemies, and I think a lot of the reporting in some cases will depend on whether or not you are a friend or enemy. There's a lot of agendas involved. What I would say is this, and from what it sounds like, from what you're saying, Uriah, I don't know, man, if you're sitting there with your wife and your mom, and I don't care if you're you or me or Katie or an elected official, and somebody comes up and punches you.
Or someone off the street.
Right.
Yeah.
And somebody comes up in front of your family and punches you in the face with a pie. You know, I'm not one to, you know, promote violence and all that unless it's you kicking somebody's ass, but I'm probably going to hit the guy back. I don't find an issue with that.
No. And, here's the truth. KJ's mom was the one that had to be held back.
Oh, wow.
She was trying to go at this guy because, I mean, what happened? KJ got side-busted by a crazy guy, and I don't think it's a decision process. You either have it's a flight or fight situation.
Right.
You either, you know, get punched and just go down, or you get punched and you react. I don't think it's like a decision like, huh, what should I do at this point? I just got punched in the face. Like, your human instinct kicks in. Have you guys ever seen that video where there's the kid in the hallway and his buddy jumps out of a trash can?
Oh, yeah.
Starts screaming, and he just turns around and throws a punch and just knocks the dude out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's more of the way I take this situation is, like, you know, action, reaction.
You know, I've always been curious, Uriah, with fighters, professional fighters, whether it's MMA, UFC, or boxing. I mean, you guys are trained at this, and I'm assuming that when you're out in public in a setting, you know, say if you're at a nightclub or whatever, and something breaks out or someone comes at you, how difficult is it for you? There's got to be a thought process there of where, you know, you could really hurt someone because you're a professional. Like, how difficult is it to kind of
deal with
that reaction? You know, we're talking about this reaction of, yeah, someone comes, you know, swinging at you. That's your fight or flight.
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain level of, okay, if you're prepared, you shouldn't be able to beat a regular person up. But then there's a certain level of just basic human rights of, you know, can somebody do something to you and you have some sort of, you know, response. So, I mean, it's for me, I feel like I'll try to avoid a confrontation all I can, but I'm not going to let myself get, you know, beat up or pushed around or, you know, in any way, shape or form, you know, let somebody assault me without taking some sort of response. So
have you ever had to deal with something like that happening to you?
Over half a country, if I remember correctly, about a 30-minute run.
Not in recent years, but I've definitely had a few scuffles here and there. You know, as a professional, I probably, at, you know, the lower level of being a professional at the very beginning, I've had a couple, but not in a very long time.
Real quick, as Uriah Faber joins us, we're almost out of time. Thank you for letting us know all about this. Like I said, you're the only guy in the room that I knew and that I trusted to say what happened. Can't let you off the phone, though, with everybody listening. We haven't talked to you since your fight. And just looking ahead, any idea? I know you're a huge planner. I know you like to schedule everything out to the T, but have you given much thought to what's next for you?
You know, they're really getting want me to fight on the Sacramento card in the new arena.
Yeah,
and I haven't got details on that yet. Like, they haven't offered me an official fight. You know, I think there's a good possibility that could happen. Like I said, though, I mean, you guys will be the first to know. I'll let you know as soon as I know. But I'm not going to be doing too many more fights. I mean, that could be a last fight for me if I take a fight in the new arena. That could be a last fight for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it right now because, like I said, I haven't been offered anything, so you don't just assume things. But I don't know. We'll see. It's a good possibility, though, that fight could happen in the new arena, bring that thing in style.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
You know, and last thing on that, and watching that last fight you had, Uriah, and I was there for the Dominic fight too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a lot of people that are going to know the name Jimmy Rivera over the next year or two, because the way it looked to me, this guy is an absolute badass, and I think a lot of people are underestimating how good he is.
Yeah, no, I know that he was going to be a tough guy. I mean, he's on a 19-fight win streak.
Yep.
And it was kind of a lackluster fight for me. I mean, I feel like we needed about three or four more rounds.
Sure.
Neither of us really, got winded or got pushed to the limit, because he's a real conservative fighter and we're both kind of trying to counterpunch. But he's going to be very tough, for sure. And I know that a lot of guys, like Brian Caraway and Aljamain Sterling, who are some guys that are ranked higher in the rankings, had turned this fight down because they said it was a dangerous fight. I can't stand that kind of stuff. You know, if there's an opportunity out there, I don't like to, hope that I can beat this guy, that guy. You're either going to beat the guy or not. That's how you approach this sport. You know, you're either the baddest dude or you're not. So I didn't have my best fight, but I was fighting a very tough guy. So, that's a reality of things, but he's very good, yeah.
Well, as I wear my MMA Inc. T-shirt right now, I'm thinking if you are nearing the end of the road, maybe you have a future in management. Maybe with Joe Silva, the matchmaker, leaving the UFC, you take that job and maybe you start training KJ, because according to you, he's got a future.
Yeah, I was going to talk to KJ. We could probably get him a scrap.
Well, he's going to be looking for something.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, appreciate the time. I know this is a little early for you, and we also hadn't talked to you since your fight. So one of these days when you get your schedule cleared up, which is probably in about 10 years, why don't you come in and hang out with us and stretch your legs.
Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, yeah, we'll come in and BS a little bit. I have I want to get back on and talk about the stuff that we're doing. We're working on a new location for the gym.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to a bigger, badder facility and it's going to be exciting. So that's going to be on 6700 Folsom Boulevard is where we're looking. So it's going to be a 20,000 square foot facility, and we're going to be doing pre-sales on that pretty soon. So I'm excited about that and all the up and coming stuff, Cody Garbrandt and Paige and all our up and comers. So we got to catch up.
Just as long as you still promise to hold mitts for me if I come in there.
Yeah, we'll get you going, dude.
If you can handle the power.
Yeah, we'll see. Only time will tell on that one.
Take care, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thanks. That's Uriah Faber joining us. We're way late for a break. It is The Drive. We'll come back, wrap up the final segment right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.